You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Friday, August 1st. On Tuesday, the West Coast was under a tsunami advisory after an 8.8 magnitude earthquake struck off the coast of Russia and produced a tsunami that spread across the Pacific Ocean. Communities on Oregon's north coast and in southwest Washington didn't experience any major impacts. Still, it was a reminder of the risks they face much closer to home from a Cascadia subduction zone earthquake and tsunami. KMUN's Katie Frankowitz spoke with Scott McDougall, director of the Pacific County Emergency Management Agency in Pacific County, Washington, about what to keep in mind and how to prepare.
First, I asked McDougall to describe what we did see with the tsunami advisory.
We were spared the brunt of the waves, and the brunt of the tsunami waves actually hit in Hawaii. But we did see here in Pacific County, we saw a measured tsunami wave of 0.40 feet, and what you saw in Clatsop County was a wave of 0.50.
Then I asked him what he thought people should keep in mind.
I think the first takeaway that we would want to have is that people need to know ahead of time what their plan is. And there are two things that people need to plan for. One is if you feel the earth shake for more than 30 seconds, you need to immediately go to high ground. If we have the Cascadia subduction zone earthquake off our coast, you're going to feel it. You're going to be aware of it. It's going to be a significant event. The shaking will probably last 4 to 5 minutes. There will be no doubt that people need to evacuate. But for a distant source tsunami where you may or may not feel the earthquake, we're going to have some time to make some decisions. And for Pacific County, we have two roads that lead on and off of the Long Beach Peninsula. And we probably have 70,000 people on the peninsula currently. And so it's really important that we don't want to have a mass evacuation when one is not necessary.
And speaking of getting to higher ground, Pacific County recently released new tsunami evacuation maps.
For the entire Long Beach Peninsula and for Raymond and South Bend, we have new walk maps that show people how they can get to high ground. We know that there are places on the Long Beach Peninsula where high ground may be more than an hour away. And so those are the places that we're really looking at developing vertical evacuation towers so that people have a place to escape to. But everybody should understand that every step inland you take and every step up you take increases your chances of survival. And these walk maps will tell you the most efficient way to get to high ground so that you can protect yourself from the earthquake or the tsunami.
McDougall's agency recently received an update from the Washington State Emergency Management Division on the type of casualty numbers the Long Beach Peninsula might see if the largest Cascadia subduction zone earthquake struck in the middle of a summer night. McDougall called the numbers humbling and very frightening. If people delayed evacuating an area, the state estimates that 70% of the people on the peninsula could be injured or killed. The numbers were much better if people left within 10 minutes of the event.
I don't want to create a situation where people feel like they can't survive. They can survive, but people need to take the opportunity to plan for themselves and to have a plan and to practice that plan before the disaster happens. And I am scared of what a near source earthquake will do. But I think in terms of preparation, making sure that you not only are prepared, but that you practice that preparation is probably the biggest thing you can do to help take some of that intimidation factor off the plate.
That was KMUN News Director Katie Frankowitz speaking with Scott McDougall, Director of the Pacific County Emergency Management Agency. Forecasters lifted the tsunami advisory on the Oregon coast on Wednesday. There were minimal waves and no damage. OPB reporter Amelia Templeton spoke to people in Tillamook County.
Brad Barnes lives in Cape Mears. It's on a sand spit between Tillamook Bay and the Pacific. Now he's freshly mad that Tillamook County got rid of most of its tsunami warning sirens.
We need that, especially, you know, at night, you know. I think they should put it back up. It's ridiculous. And I had my overnight bag packed, ready to go up on top of the hill. I'm getting out of here.
So you have a plan.
Keys are in the car, the suitcase is packed, and I'll haul up the hill to the viewpoint. I'm gonna have to edit that.
A few miles away in Oceanside, life has returned to normal, and tourists are on the beach again.
My name's Jamie Ruzica, and actually today we just wanted to take a summer day to spend with the girls, so we just decided to come and have some fun. The girls were a little nervous, but we kind of figured if it was anything serious, they probably wouldn't be allowing us to get too close to the coast. And by the time I got the signal, it looked like everything was going to be okay. It was quiet this morning, but it's definitely picked up with a lot of people. So I think it's just like one of those perfect Oregon beach days.
The Trump administration announced on Wednesday it is rescinding millions of acres of designated areas for offshore wind development, including two areas off the southern Oregon coast. Monica Samayoa has more.
The chances of floating offshore wind in Oregon just got slimmer. The administration's decision to rescind development of all wind energy areas includes two off the coasts of Coos Bay and Brookings. Oregon was already facing mounting pressure from residents, fishermen, and tribes against the development of the technology in the region. That led the federal agency to cancel a lease sale last year. But the Trump administration's decision doesn't mean the technology will never make it to shore. An Oregon Department of Land Conservation and Development official says the decision means the process to identify areas for development would need to start again. Reporting from Portland, I'm Monica Samayoa.
Helion has just broken ground on what could become the world's first nuclear fusion plant in the central Washington town of Malaga. David Kirtley is CEO of the Everett-based company.
This is the first time that people are talking about and now demonstrating that you can do fusion in a way that is commercially relevant for electricity, that is low cost, that is efficient, that is reliable. That's what we're showing and what we're building right now.
Fusion is expected to be relatively clean, abundant, and cheap compared to traditional nuclear power. It works by using extremely high heat and pressure to fuse nuclei,
which is the same process that happens in our sun.
The tech industry is banking on fusion to satisfy artificial intelligence's insatiable appetite for energy. Microsoft has already committed to buying all of the electricity generated by the Helion plant for its data centers. Helion's goal is to start sending electrons to the grid by 2028. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@KMUN.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at KMUN.org.